1 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight, and many of you know that the health department visited us on Sunday and shut us down, closed us down. So that's on the door. The notice is on the door. And I want to speak about that a little bit tonight and more deeply what you and I are part of because of God's grace given to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's amazing. Amen. So, some of you maybe have never been in a situation like this where the city or government makes a decision, and then we, as Christians with pure hearts and good motives, want to do the right thing. And for us, it's our faith. It's our religion. This is our religion. I want to use that word tonight as I speak about our church life. And it's so important. And what I have seen through the years is that the Holy Spirit has been teaching us, and we become alive. And we read that in Titus 3:5, Romans 8, verse 11, many other verses. So I want to just kind of in a relaxed way talk to you from my heart, from the scripture, about what is happening here. The good news is that I feel that all of us know what is happening here, because we started on this particular chapter of our journey a year ago, and we were wearing masks. We were this chapel was empty. Pastor Shibeli was here. We had a band, and we preached to an empty room for about 10 weeks, I believe. Then we and we had the Zoom meetings and so on. And then we went out in the parking lot, and we said, "Come Easter, we were going to have a parking lot," and we did. And then Scotty Dubé, and the beautiful thing about where we are at is that we are a team, and I'm so honored and so blessed to have such unity with so many people, with love in our hearts and good intentions. So we preached from the roof, you remember that? We honored protocols. We had Ryan Reagan giving out coffee and donuts the cafe team. And we were always interested in connecting with people. Always interested in how are they doing? What's their name? Ministry. Because God has given us a certain kind, a certain way of life. Certain convictions about things. Love, wisdom, message after message, the Bible, being excited. World missions, like Chris Moore texted me a few minutes ago with photos from his mission trip in Iraq, and just seeing many people in that city, and he said, "It's the most open place I've ever been. They stop us in the street. They love Americans. They ask us questions. They follow us around." This is in the Kurdistan part, the northern part of Iraq. We have a mission, and our assembly is important to us. And in my heart, this is the key. In my heart, when somebody comes to the door and they don't have a mask on, and they don't want to wear one, then in my heart, I say you're welcome. You can come in. You can sit here, and those that are with masks can sit there. Why do I say that? Because that's how I feel about it. That's how I feel the work goes. That's what I believe, that it's not necessary. Why? How can you prove it? I cannot prove it, and I don't care about talking about it in the pulpit. You can study it out. And through the year, we have made a lot of efforts. We canceled EuroCon. We canceled convention. We've canceled Camp Life. We canceled the Easter play, didn't we, last year? Yeah, we have canceled. We have worked. We made effort. Numbers have gone down. They've gone back up. We have herd immunity, maybe. Many of us don't care about it anymore. We are hugging and kissing. We are embracing and living. Yeah. So we're assembling tonight. And simply because we want to hear the word. We want to see each other. We want to encourage each other. And one of the trustees said last night in our trustee elders meeting we had last night as we discussed these issues together. Not all the elders were there, but we had invited them, but it was a spontaneous meeting. But one of the trustees said, we have two major health problems in the country, COVID and mental health. We have a mental health crisis in our country. In our religion, people are important. I mean, people talking, not from 6 feet from each other, but in a relaxed way, listening, caring. And the Bible has much to say about it. So tonight I want to speak a couple of points. One of them is how they left Egypt, and in a way, how we live our life. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll start reading from verse 1. How do we leave Egypt? Also, how did we become missionaries, and how did we have a changed life? And we have a young lady down here. I forgot her name, Gwen. Kennedy, yeah. This lady, is this your fifth night or sixth night, maybe? Fifth night. This young lady, Kennedy. This is her fifth night. Okay. And she talked to me the other night for a few minutes. That person's life, that's what this is about. It's about God. God meeting people. God loving people through people. This is not a bar room. This is not Home Depot. This is not a bowling alley. This is not the Baltimore Oriole Stadium. What's that called? Camden Yards. This is not. This is a church. This is a church. This is a church. When we come in here, God is in charge. And God gave gifts unto men. I am a pastor teacher. I cannot reject somebody at the door. They do not have a mask. They don't want to wear a mask. They come from a communist country. I don't wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. And can I come in? No, you cannot come in. No, you cannot come in. Go home. Go watch it on Zoom. No, you cannot come in here. That's not allowed. It's not allowed. You cannot come in here. I cannot do that. Thank you. I can't do that. Thank you. I don't believe that. Because I believe Psalm 91 says, he that dwells under the shadow of the Almighty dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And I believe many of us have been blessed by God because we're in the shadow of the Almighty. And that's sitting under with God in the fellowship with the gifts that God has given to the body. So that's what happened when they came out of Egypt. It is. That's what happened when they came out. Read it with me, please. 1 Corinthians, and it's how Chris Moore got to Iraq. It's how God said to the church at Philadelphia, I open a door and nobody can close it. By the way, we've been in parts of the world that some people couldn't get in, but God opened a door. That we've been in the Soviet Union and we've been in many other places. We've been in Islamic countries and we've had open doors from God. Because this is about God, not about people. It's about God. Isn't that amazing? It is. And we got brought up in it. We were growing in it. We were feeling it. Now turn, just for a second. Mental health. We spoke last service, I think it was Sunday, on therapy. We talked about the church is a vehicle of therapy for people. The church is a place where I get loved, where I am encouraged. The church is a place where somebody listens to me. The church is a place where I feel I am helped or honored. You know my name. You know my name. When Kennedy, like we know your name now. Like, you know my name. You know? Greet one another by name, it says. When we have communion, do we take our mask off? Yes, we have to. How can we eat with it on? We have to. When we drink the wine, what do? When we sing, how do we sing? I love it. We sing. We sing. I don't want to be conscious of any disease or anything like that. This is where I am today. Look at our year, and have we made the effort? Have we tried? Are we submitted in our heart and spirit? Yes. But as I said in whenever it was in December, I'm done. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm looking to God with you. We have a mission. We are making disciples. We are teaching the Bible. We are growing in our faith. We are being prepared for more, whatever the Lord has for us. And I just want to say that in principle. So go to chapter 10 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you that you should be ignorant. And he's going to tell them something. He's going to share something practical with them for the church at Corinth. I want you to realize something. I want you to see something. You cannot be ignorant about this. You have to know your life is bigger than your house and your job and the third place you go to, or the fourth place you go to. Some people have hobbies and so on. We have, many of us have church, my home, my church, my job. That's how we may live. But there are people that don't have a church life. So read verse 1, please. I would that you would not be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And that's in a way how we live too. We go through the Red Sea. What is a cloud? When they came out of Egypt, there was a cloud over them. And the cloud was light to the Jews and darkness to the Egyptians. Egyptians are after the Jews, but it's kind of dark. And the Jews are under the cloud and they're passing through the Red Sea. Question, do you believe that about your life tonight? Do you believe that there's something more about your life than just your paycheck and your house and your dog? Do you believe that you're under the cloud? That you pass through the sea? You know, through life. Is this kind of what the metaphor for going through life? Verse 2. And we're all baptized unto Moses. Somehow, it happened through Moses. Moses was the man. I want a man of God in my life. They help me. I've got a man of God in my life. Have had, continue to have in my heart, and we have a ministry. It helps me. Helps me with my problems with myself, my problems, my bad habits. Helps me with my attitude. Helps me with my friendships. Helps me with my finances. Helps me with making decisions. I'm baptized unto Moses. That's what it says, verse 2. And in the sea, in the cloud, and in the sea. So it looks like there's three things there. Moses, and the cloud, and the sea. Yeah, that's the man of God, the body of Christ, the cloud, that extra help that comes from God through the called the sea, called life. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, spiritual food. That's how we got through it. Spiritual food. That's how we survive. Spiritual food. That's what happens to us. We have a lot of forgiveness in our heart, a lot of faith. We seek righteousness and truth. And we eat spiritual food. Yeah, life of faith, isn't it? Verse 4. Did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Mm. Great. Amen. Wow. How did they get through? Christ. They drank of a spiritual rock. Christ. They got through it. We said, remember some months ago, I said I'm concerned because we're not being called a cult anymore. We haven't been in the newspapers. We haven't been in the newspapers. And we're not getting in any trouble. I'm concerned. Like, are we really walking with God? Well, God answered my prayer. Yeah, he did it. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Keep praying. Yeah. Yes, he does. And a year ago, we said maybe, you know, people are thinking we're going to get into, a year ago, we'll go into the lockdown and all the things that we go, and it's going to get better. We'll come out. Maybe not, we said, remember? Maybe it'll get worse and worse and worse, and, you know, maybe it will. But look at what we just read. That rock that followed us is Christ. That door that he opens that no man can shut, that's world missions. That's disciples. That's people that are not ashamed of my name. They embrace my word. They have a little strength. They have not denied my name. Those are the people that believe that sin is sin. Just for a little off-step thing here. Somebody told me about cross-dressing, some man dressing as a woman and so on. And they said, you know, something about it. And I go, you know, that's against the law of Moses. And they said, oh, I don't know that. So I want to show it to you because I want to talk to everybody here. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Probably nobody here has that problem, but I wanted you to see something. Why don't you read the Bible? Why don't you, if you are a young person, read the Bible and ask God to speak to you from his law? from his law. I love the law, the psalmist said. I delight in your law. It warns me. It guides me. It keeps me back from presumptuous sin in Psalm 19. So I want to show something. You think it's funny that a man dresses like a woman or a woman like a man? It's look at Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. There you go. What do you think about that? Yeah, could it be more clear? That's the kind of church you go to, where you read the Bible and we talk about these things and try to understand that verse. Why? Like, why is that wrong? And it says it's an abomination to do it. Wonder why. I think if you hang out and hang out in the church and the Holy Spirit will teach you, you'll know why. You'll understand it. That God, he says, behold, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. There's something wonderful in that. You got to embrace it. Come on. Embrace it. You embrace it. I don't care about whatever our culture is or what's going on. Is it obvious to us yet that this world is like a sea that we pass through? We're passing through a world of trouble. And they hate Christ. The world hates Christ. The world is evil. The world hates Christ. So let's go back to, did that stimulate you? Maybe somebody was sleeping, so I just threw that in there. Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5. But with many of them that were in the sea, baptized under the cloud unto Moses, but with many of them God was not well pleased. How many? Many of them he was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples. This story is an example for us, to the intent we should not lust after evil things. Lusting after evil things. Calling what is bitter sweet, and calling good evil and evil good, and corruption and power and money and fashion and popularity and acceptance and many things that we lust after in our flesh. But these are written that we would understand that in the Holy Spirit, we would not lust after those things. We would seek God, not have the love of the world, but we would have the love of God, not the love of the world, but the love for God. Well, in the morning devotional this morning, we use Mark 13. When the disciples were leaving Jerusalem, they said, look at the temple building. Isn't it amazing? Look at the building, the stones. They were amazed at the building. And Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. And I just paralleled it like to everything man makes. Look at the architecture. Look at the technology. Look at the cars. Look at the governments. Look at the globalism. Look at the economies. Look at everything is so incredible. Look at the satellites in outer space. And God could say the same thing. Do you see these things? There's an end. But the love of God, that has no end. That love, the love of God, keeps us from evil. A man that rules, look at 2 Samuel 23, please. 2 Samuel 23, David said this. Verse 3. God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. He that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. The fear of God. Rulers. Warning. Warning to Herod by the Baptist. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Mark 6, verse 19. Okay, I'm taking his head off. There was a saint in England. Henry VIII had murdered his second wife, beheaded her. And Hugh Latimer was the Christian. And he went, King Henry had him come before him. And Hugh Latimer was stumbling because he knew. But he said he had to say the truth. He had to say the truth. It's beautiful. And he survived. King Henry VIII did not decide to execute him. But Henry VIII's Bloody Mary, his daughter Mary, did. She took him out, burned him at the stake. Evil in leadership, evil in my heart, evil in the activities of men, it's a very real thing. But we, and Pharaoh in Egypt, but Pharaoh could not find the Jews because they were under a cloud with Moses going through the Red Sea. And there was something rich and deep. They were drinking and eating spiritual food. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. That's a warning to us, to the church. These are amazing thoughts. So, let me finish. Go with me to Philippians 4 and verse 1. Well, beautiful. I think that the love we have for each other is behind everything. God is behind everything I'm saying. Not in the sense that everything I'm saying is from God, but in the sense that we are pointing to God to be the answer for our life. And then having God in our life, we love each other. Because we love each other, we yearn and long for each other. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, so there's very strong words of affection here. My brethren, dearly beloved. Did any of you hear Pastor Gromov during Uricon? On the video, and he's like a big teddy bear, a grandfather, a spiritual grandfather, a man of wisdom and love, a lot of experience, and shared his testimony and enjoyed it. He enjoyed it as he was telling it, and we enjoyed it as we listened. Psalm 68, verse 1, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. So, we love him, Tony Cooper, Pastor Toll, Pastor Yuha. We love the brothers and sisters in India, Pastor Stan, the Latinos. We love our brothers and sisters. I long for them, Paul said, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, longing for, do you long for your brother and your sister? When the family is healthy, we long for that. I want to see my father at the train station when the train pulls in. I'll be leaning out the window, a young boy could say. A man in a war with bombs bursting in air, we'll just pull out a photo of his wife and little daughter, long for a family member. I long for you. That's what he said. I long for you. You know, some of us have been abroad planting churches, and those people that I think about every day in Hungary and in Finland, the two places where I was very much involved, but many other places too. But I want you to understand that this is our religion. Our religion is longing for your face. Paul said that to the Thessalonians, that he wants to see their face. He told them, greet one another with a holy kiss. He said to the Philippians, and he planted a church there and left, but it's kind of like, I am so honored to be a part of your church, and I care about you by name. In Romans 16, I believe there's 37 names that are written in that chapter to a city that he's never been to yet. And some of those names are with him in his travel, or with him in Corinth. They are with him, but he's filled with names. He is, because this is our religion. It's faces, it's names, it's words, it's communion, it's hugging, it's kissing, it's walking, it's evangelizing, it's believing, it's serving each other. What would happen to a church if they never meet? Well, we're going to see. Because we are seeing, we haven't seen. They're shut down. One church, one big church here in Baltimore, I heard today, is shut down until 2022. I don't understand. How can a family? You're kidding me. You're kidding me. You got to be kidding me. When it says, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, he said, Onesimus sought me out in Rome very diligently, and he was not ashamed of my chain. Translation, if you're going to go find a guy who's in chains, it might be better that you stay away from him, because you might end up in chains next to him. But he wasn't ashamed of his chain. He wasn't afraid of that label. He wasn't afraid of it. That's the thing the devil hates, is our faith, our courage, our authority. He hates it that we have a cloud that's leading and guiding us through the Red Sea. He hates it when we say Christ is the answer. He hates it when we assemble together and actually love each other to the point where we long for. Let's read the verse, verse 1. It says, "In my dear brethren, dearly beloved," those are two labels. "Long for" is 3. "You are my joy," like I'm very much joyful over you. I am joyful over you. I have that. Isn't that amazing? "And crown," what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 titles. "So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Okay, let's go to one last one. It's in Thessalonians. I think so. let me see. I read it in a different translation, so I've got to work to get it. I think, yeah, okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence," we're not with you in presence for a short time, "but not in heart." And I have to say, the other side of this is that the brothers and sisters that are wearing masks and assembling, and there are many of them, and I thank God for them, and I applaud them, and I'm. This is just the way I'm living, and how they live, that's before them and God, and I'm very thankful. and they or they're not in presence, they're doing another way of doing it. I don't want you to hear me in the wrong way. I'm thankful, and there's not any dividing point here in my mind regarding the brothers and the sisters. It's not about that. It's about our hearts. It's about love. It's about our faith. And Paul said, I'm away from you in presence, but not in heart. And thank God for all those pastors and workers that are ministering to the flock and caring for the flock. But the flock doesn't need politics. The flock needs Christ, the spiritual rock that follows us and builds us up in our faith. And we are able to say, as we pass through the sea, Jesus is with us. That's the idea. Amen. Okay, let's go to the verse 17. Endeavored the more abundantly, verse 17. I endeavored the more abundantly. What is that? I really labored very hard to see you. I really did. I wanted to see you. That means after we get through this time, some of our people will be getting on planes and flying to different parts of the world because we endeavor to see the people in Thailand and Philippines and Korea and in Africa and so on. We endeavor in the body together or cross the street. And what did he say? He said, endeavor to see your face with great desire. Can't you see a face with a mask on? Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Wear one. Wear one. I wear one. When I go into stores, I don't have any problem with wearing one, but I don't want to preach with one on. And also, I want to see your face. And also, this is my religion. This is, I believe people. I believe there's something about us. I believe in God. I believe in his protection. I believe that we passed through the Red Sea under a cloud. I believe that we got through the year in an amazing way. No question about it. We got through the year in an amazing way. You know, so this is therapy. Body life is therapy. And we respect people that are sensitive. We're high-risk people. We have them on the phone. I talk to some of them through the weeks. I encourage them. I don't have any problem with them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our rights as Americans to assemble as we please. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Now, wait a minute. There's fire codes and laws and rules and regulations. We follow them. We're very happy. They protect us. They're very good. We have no problem with electricity and fire and water, everything that is needed. Our school falls under other jurisdiction. It's not the church. Our Bible college is running the way we want it to, and everything in its order and its way. My heart, my desire is to see your face. My desire is to have communion. My desire is to assemble often. And by the way, my fundamental way of living on this in this whole thing has been Psalm 91. I have faith in Jesus Christ. That's going to help me and protect me. I understand the other views and other ways of thinking. I understand that. That's fine. But can you leave me alone? Can you leave me alone? Can I make my decision? Let me say another thing. Do you know that in the American way of life, we are to make our decisions for ourselves? Amen. Where I live? Who decided where you live? You decided. Do you decide it? Where your kids go to school? What job you have? Where you live? Do you buy a car? No, I don't buy a car. I have a bicycle. Is that your decision? That's my decision. Where I go swimming? How risks I take? If you have a gun or not? If you go hunting or not, or fishing or not, whose decisions are they? Are they risks? Do you know when you get in your car and drive home tonight, it's a risk? Are you going to decide that? No, wait a minute. The government should decide that. They should decide everything. They should decide, no, or what? You are an individual that makes decisions for your life. And how you handle this pandemic, that's been your decision. And this pulpit has been very good, I believe, and very gracious in just making Christ the issue, and we follow him. And he will take care of us. And we've gone through the Red Sea, you know, in the principle, and God has been good to us. And we continue to live like this. We've been living like this, and we continue to live like this because this is our blessing. And I am sorry for the people that do not have a church where there is a message and life and love and friends and laughter. Hanging out with Pastor Butch Vieta at the table and hanging out at the deck with another group and the ladies and the widows in our church who are very precious, have friends and love. I'm very thankful that God has given us a spiritual therapy to keep us healthy spiritually and mentally and emotionally. And we don't apologize for it. No apology. No apology to anybody. You make your decision. And that's how it is. We are compliant as much as we possibly can be in a reasonable way. We have been. That's been proven through the year. We've had a great year. And by God's grace, we're going to have a great future. However it comes out, God knows. But we're in a very good place in the Lord. Amen. Okay. I hope that helps. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Altar call. Okay. Probably there's a lot of new people watching tonight. So this is a good altar call. Here it is. May I make this so clear to the audience listening online? Nobody here is special. None of us. We've been loved by God. God loves you. God loves you. God is real. God cares about you. God is the answer. If you're lonely, depressed, fearful, God is the answer for you. Every one of us, we found it. We found joy and peace and love, and you have it too by Jesus Christ. He paid it, the price for you to take your sin away and give you eternal life. Very important. You must be born again. You must be somehow brought to that place where you say, I need Jesus. He's the answer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, your sin cannot be so great that his blood would not be enough to wash it away. He washes away our sins, and he comes to you personally tonight, personally to say to you in your heart, I love you. I am for you. I will change your life. I will save you. I come into your life. Actually, into your body, in your spirit, and he saves you. Walk by faith in him, and you will know him. He will give you peace. You will grow in the faith. You will know him in a personal way. And talk to God. He's your heavenly Father. He's the one that loves you and cares for you. Start talking to him like a friend. He will answer your prayers. He will show himself to you. Start reading the Bible and attend a church where you can hear the Word of God. And God will help you, save you, help you, heal you, encourage you, speak to you, and guide you all the days of your life. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Say to God, say to Christ, Jesus, Christ, save me. I don't understand it. I don't know what it means exactly, but I believe you are real. You are the Savior of the world, and you know me, and I admit that I need you. I am a sinner, and I need you to save me tonight. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the offering. Please give in the offering tonight. We'll do the music, a song, while the offering goes. And thank you for giving. We're very blessed in many ways. And financially, yeah, keep it coming. And bless the work we're doing. We pray, Father, tonight in Jesus' name for that. In Christ's name, bless the offering. Amen.